It's time to talk Sabres hockey. Big changes at KeyBank Center. Let's hear all about it. Coach Lindy Ruff is being brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. By Catholic Health. And by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. Now, with head coach Lindy Ruff, here's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
Sabres game night at home. We'll check in with Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff in a few moments. It is time, of course. Don't forget, Joe. We have a job to do today.
Oh, dog of the day is back.
Dog of the day.
Let's go. I forgot.
Dallas,
you could do a lot with, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The rodeo dog. Yeah, that's what I was. That was my first thought. Although, is that Dallas, though? That's Texas. Yeah.
Sure.
Barbecue onion rings is what I think of when I think of rodeo.
Yeah, I was thinking like steak.
Barbecue chicken and onion rings.
Steak tips.
Or that.
Something like that.
Okay.
Dallas.
What else could you do other than that?
Like you could do something with a Stars theme, a Cowboys theme.
You could do that with the Stars.
Sometimes famous residents are what inspires the hot dog of the day. But.
Yeah.
Dog of the day.
I think a new one Star, coming up. The thing about the Star, maybe there's a Star tie-in here somewhere.
Yeah. Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff joining us on the Westshore Hotline. Lindy, they put the dog of the day in the locker room for you guys each week. I feel like, you know, every home game there's a new hot dog, and I feel like
feel like hot dog is a great pregame meal.
I mean,
personally,
I think Lindy could have access to it. No,
I think we'll put our assistant coach Marty in charge of the dog of the day.
There you go. All right,
I've got too many things on my plate.
Well, tonight it's
a hot dog isn't one of them.
Right, yeah. Right. Tonight, Sabres and Stars. Lindy, it's people in this spot like to joke revenge game. You know, you're coaching against one of your former teams in the Dallas Stars, and I was thinking today as I came in, you know, your time in Dallas. You know, as you've been a coach for a long time in this league, one of the stops between your two Buffalo stops was your time in Dallas. And how many people are still there? Remember any people that are still there with the organization? And you know, just kind of recapping your time with the Stars.
Yeah, you know what, we have, there's not many players. You got Bannon, Sagan, Essel, Lindell. I think that's probably it for the players during my time. The GM, Jim Nill, who I remain good friends with, is still in charge, and he's one heck of a guy. And I get to say hello to him every time we play or we're in their city. So, a lot has changed. A couple trainers are still the same. But that team has really changed over since the last year I was there.
They're off to a good start this year, too. 5-1 through their first six games. 18 goals, 4 in those six games. And second in the West, or second in the Central of the Western Conference.
A very good team. I mean, if you go back to last year's playoffs and what a series that was between them and Edmonton. When you looked at, I really felt Dallas was going to be the team that may come out of the West. And I probably think that when you look at the last game, even it was a game that they could have won and didn't win. And that's really what hockey can come down to. It can come down to that one game that it can go either way. But They've been a good team now the last couple of years, and they're built around real solid defensive scheme. Their goaltender has been fantastic for them. So this is a team that is going to be on top of their game, and they're going to be a tough team to beat.
This is a game where this isn't as dramatic in this game because it's the first of their road trip here, Lindy. But in this four game homestand, you have your team's going to have the rest advantage a few times. Do you? Get days in between games too. Do you coach differently, or do you want your guys playing differently when that's the case? When you're at home consistently for a couple weeks, and you might have a couple days in between games.
Yeah, you know, we've put a lot of thought into when you have those 3 days on how to approach it, and if you should be practicing that hard, the 2 days leading to it. Again, we'll play this game, and then we have 3 days again, so. It's important that we really just keep working on, what we do best. And I think the 5-on-5 play has been good. Our 5-on-5 scoring is right there at the top of the league. Defending, We've had a couple games get away from us, but overall our defending, we're getting out of the zone a lot quicker, which when you don't play in your own end, gives you a better chance to get up ice and create offense. I think we've left a lot of plays out there. We've missed a lot of quality opportunities where we haven't executed or hit a crossbar, hit a post. So I feel if we get in rhythm with when we get the high quality opportunity, our shooting percentage right now in the league is one of the lowest. So there are areas that we just got to continue to work on to make ourselves a better team.
Do you feel like that is starting to come around at least with your top line? It feels like Thompson and Paterka are starting to find the net. So maybe it's just about getting more out of some of the other lines now on that front.
Yeah, I think you look at that line now has been together. Paterka was out for a while, so it was a different piece in there for a couple games. It seems like they've gathered a little bit of rhythm with the number of opportunities they're getting, and you don't need a lot of opportunities for Tage or for JJ, and I think that Tuck is a great piece, good defensively, long stick, gets his opportunities, probably has missed as high a quality opportunities as anybody on the team. So like the way the line is going, and I'd like to see him continue.
This might be a tough question to answer, but like when you lay that all out, the 5-on-5 and the chance you're getting, do you feel like, and this can kind of be spun a couple different ways, like just keep going because there are good things, and that almost ends up sounding like, do you feel like you might have deserved a little better than what you've got so far?
Well, I think if you look at the LA King game where we played a really strong game, and you don't get 25 to 30 chances in many games. And we hit the posts and crossbars in that game and gave up a lot. We didn't give up very much the whole game, and you end up losing the hockey game. So I think there are a couple games that we could have deserved better. I really feel the Pittsburgh game, we took too many penalties, too many ill-advised penalties, maybe tough calls, but you still can't take penalties. I think we got back to playing our game in Chicago, played a strong two-way game, and end up winning a hockey game. So it's trying to remain consistent. I think every team has a way they want to play or a way that they think their group can create. And for the most part, each team has that scheme defensively, whether it's a little bit more man-on-man or if it's a little bit more collapsed zone that you can take advantage of. So we're just going to continue to work on our game.
Maybe I'm forcing a point here, Lindy, but I was wondering about this week about just remembering your time in your first stint with the Sabres and how often you would shift lines up, juggle lines even within a game or within even a period. And that hasn't happened a lot since the start of training camp. Is that maybe a sign, even just reading you a little bit, of how you think the players have been playing well? It's just it's getting chances. It's just the puck's not going in. Or is that something that you think is different now where you might just want to build chemistry in a line?
Yeah, I think you've kind of got two things going on. I mean, I think when you look and you break down a game, it's and you look at a line that's playing together, or even this year, I think we've had the top two lines because Paterka was out. That line has changed around. The second line with Quinn out and Benson was out some period of time, and probably still isn't 100%. That line has been changed. Probably the line that has stayed together the most has been the line of McLeod, Greenway, and Zucker, and we're getting quite a bit out of them. I thought we had a heck of a game out of the Krebs line last game, too. So, but I think you'll see the odd time inside of a game, especially after a penalty killing, you'll see a Thompson go out with a Paterka and Kulik. So there's times inside the game, whether it's after the power play, after the penalty killing, you do a little bit of shuffling and you see what that looks like. I felt that there's times where a little bit of shakeup has looked good when we've been out there, but it's not a shakeup that lasts the whole game. I think for me, most lines, there's two guys that almost always stay together, and there's a piece you can move around depending on how that line looks. And if they're not creating and if they're giving up too much, you might as well put a different piece in a different place.
I feel like, Lindy, I've heard that a little bit more in the last few years, that it's even though hockey lines are three, that many coaches do approach it that way, like pairs with a movable piece.
Yeah, I think it has become more common. You look at And I think sometimes it's based on if the other team is really trying to take away your top guys. So if you slide one of your top pieces down the lineup, you know, in the second line or third line, it can create often can create some extra opportunities because now they can't get their best defensive pair against your top line, especially on the road. And at home with, you know, with you getting the last change, you have an opportunity to dictate when you can get your guys out there. So it's a little bit easier.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff joining us on the Whistler Hotline. You mentioned Jiří Kulik there for a moment. He scored his first goal. Sabres fans finally getting kind of a first look at this player they drafted a long ago. And he'd done really well in Rochester. The development arc for Kulik, I mean, I might be one that's been a little impatient to see it, eager to see him. What have you seen from him, and what do you think of him as a player?
I think his game is growing. I know he's got an incredible toolbox. He's got a great shot. He's come into camp this year, and I don't have a long list of what I knew about him, but stronger, his skating and his ability to fend off people to create offense has been good. I really feel like that even on the one power play, you know, you give this guy a chance and he can hammer one-timers. His wrist shot is as quick and as hard as probably anybody on our team. So I do believe that we have a kid that's a total package here, and he's just getting started.
His centerman on his line, Lindy, Dylan Cousins, he had a 30-goal season 2 years ago, so we've seen him in the league be able to produce goals. How do you feel like he's playing in general right now? Because there's no goals yet. Do you feel like he's close? Do you still think it's a work in progress? How far away do you think he is from being back to like a consistent goal scorer?
It's on an analytics side with the number of quality opportunities he's had and some of the chances he's missed, whether it's been 5-on-5 or even the whole play in the Chicago game that he put off the crossbar. You look at a player that's inches away that has had great opportunities. He had a breakaway where kind of mishandled, and I think he's dealing with a little bit of the pressure. He's so disappointed that he hasn't produced. I think he's putting added pressure. I've talked about him, just be yourself, play your game, and it'll come. And the opportunities are still there inside of a game for him. But you can't all of a sudden get tunnel vision. You've got to use the people who are with you. You've got to give and go. You've got to create little two-on-ones. And the better opportunities will show up. So, I think he's a little off right now, but he is a guy that I totally believe in.
You know, Lindy, someone posted, I saw a video of Cousins from maybe a year ago or 2 years ago skating with Quinn and Peterka. We called it the kid line back then, and they kind of came up together. And Cousins in this clip is just like, he's playing on fire. He's playing at such a high speed. And I wonder if, when dealing with a player, you got your video sessions of what you've done in the last week or month. Do you ever go back and show a player what you did last year or 2 years ago to maybe help them rediscover a part of their game that has been missing or anything like that?
Yeah, and I think you've made a good point. I think the hesitation in his game, I think his skating has always been the strength. And haven't quite seen that. I think we've got a player that came into camp incredible shape, put on some extra muscle, and not by any means fat or anything. He's heavier than he was last year. Maybe that is going to take just a little bit of time. I know he's stronger on the puck. He's a stronger individual. So he might be playing a little catch up in that area, but there are a lot of times where you'll peel out a package and show, you show a player 10 to 15 clips of this is when you were going really well. This is what it looked like. And instead of focusing on what you didn't get done in the previous game, I think it's really good to catch them doing it the way they've done it and had the most success.
On Jack Quinn, question on him. Joe was telling me some numbers a couple days ago about like the NHL edge numbers about
his, this is like the player tracking with speed. Yeah,
his speed and his skating, and he found himself in the press box. In terms of Jack Quinn and what's going on with his game, what's the status there?
I think we've got a player again that has everything. When you look at some of the puck management for Jack, when I watch his game, the puck management hasn't been the A part of his game. It's some of his decision making is going to have to be better. But I think at the same time, he's a guy that I think is skating well. I think it's a little tied in with, you know, those guys. Probably their best game by far was the LA game, and that was him and Kulik with Cousin. And, you know, I'm hoping that that line can catch a little bit of fire for us.
One other individual I wanted to touch on with you, Lindy, because I think you referenced him or talked about him yesterday at practice. Dahlin still dealing with a little bit of something, even maybe going back to camp?
I think he's almost, you know, I would say 100%.
Okay.
But for sure dealt with it now to this point. I thought the last couple games we're starting to see, and he's a tough guy to keep off the ice. Like, even, you know, shut him down. He wants to practice. He wants to skate. He has dealt with a lot, but I think right now he's almost where I would call back to himself.
Okay. And then with this, lastly for me, this homestand, four games in a row here, it's been, again, to reach from the past a little bit here, there have been times in the past where the booing from home fans has been a storyline, and you hope it doesn't happen. If the team plays well, then this isn't even a question. How do you, if that does happen, though, 13-year playoff drought, fans can be on edge a lot easier. If it does happen, what do you think, I don't know, what's the healthiest way you want players reacting to it? Ignoring it? Motivating them? Maybe it's different by person? Do you even have a thought on that type of stuff?
I really don't have a thought, but I would say play better and win games.
Okay.
Play better. Get emotion involved in the game. And that's, I mean, emotion involved for me is start off by winning your battles. Win your puck races. The other stuff will all take care of itself. You know, when you see added effort or second effort coming back or blocking shots, those are all, for me, high indicators of just being engaged in the game. And stay engaged in the game. You can't control bad bounces, or, you know, you can't control maybe a bad call and all of a sudden you're getting scored on. But you can control your effort inside the game, and those are the areas that I'd like our guys to focus in on.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. Lindy, thanks for the time, and best of luck tonight and on the homestand.
You're welcome, gentlemen.
All right.
Thanks, Lindy.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff. His appearance brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth by Steve Foley Law. If you've been injured, it's time to get serious. Time to call Steve Foley Law. And by the Orthopedic Center at St. Joseph Campus. 7 o'clock, Sabres Stars. We asked them about the power play last week. Said they're working on it, of course. The organization power play is in the dumps.
I saw going all the way down to the ECHL level,
yes,
if you want to do that.
They're still looking for a power play goal?
I think it's 0 for 49.
All right, well,
Sabres are 0 for 21.
Come up with some.
Somebody break that. Jeez.
Keys to moral victory tonight. I'll come up with a call. I'll give you a couple of those later. I haven't thought about it until right now. Keys to moral victory.
All right. While you're thinking of that, is there any memorable Sabre Star game from since 99?
Since 99?
What's the most memorable Sabre Stars game since, obviously, no goal? Or is there one? Isn't there a game 2 years ago that's really good when they missed by 1 point? Isn't there a game in there against, actually,
hold on.
Opposite.
I have a couple.
It's the opposite. Do you remember the game I'm thinking of?
In the tank year, the Stars had a furious comeback to steal 2 points.
Okay.
Or the Sabres stole minus 2 points that night. There's a game where they lose 5-0, 5-1 at home. Mike Ryan scores the only goal.
Okay.
How am I remembering this game?
That's a weird game to remember.
That's right. Also, I'm pretty sure my favorite Danny Briere goal ever came against the Stars.
Okay.
Lindy's first game as a head coach against the Sabres was a Stars game.
Yep, I remember that. He got a tribute video. Was it something about the goal, or was it the time of the goal? Did he spin around?
No.
Or?
What happened was, you know me, I like roar before the horn. I like when the crowd goes nuts before it's in the net. Or, you know, like life with Max Afinogenov was this.
Oh,
as soon as he gets the puck, it's like everybody stood up. Right.
Oh, I loved it.
So there was a. I'm 90% sure it's the Stars. Look for like 05, 06, a 4-1 win against the Stars.
Yeah, I got a 4-3 win in 05. I got a
maybe it's 4-3. It might see if there's a Briere goal to maybe to go whatever.
I might be on the wrong site because I've got a gap between 2005 and 2008 where they didn't play, and that can't be right.
Sure can. I mean, the league has changed the schedule structure so many times.
It must be this 4-3 win in 05 because they didn't play them again until 08.
Can you pull up a box score there?
Yeah, let me get it. While I do that,
if there's a Briere goal.
Yeah. While I do that, do you remember I was completely off the game 2 years ago, the season they missed by 1 point, the Sabre Star game, it was not a good game. In fact, it was probably the worst game of the year.
Is that when they went on that Western Conference trip, Colorado? No.
No, it was here, the night that Eric Comrie gave up 10 goals.
Huh.
And didn't get pulled.
Well,
Sorry, I think you had forgotten about that one.
Yes,
and I probably should have kept it that way, but I had to mention it.
Yes, I had forgotten about that.
The game where Comrie gave up 10, and they never pulled him.
Yeah. Holy cow.
Yep. Were they still in the race, too, when that happened?
Last year, it feels like they weren't
This was 2 years ago, they missed by one. Maybe right before they went on a little bit of a run to get back in it. They lost 10-4 to the Dallas Stars.
Did you find out there's a Briere goal in that
win? I'm like one click away from it.
The Briere goal, I'll just tell you my favorite Briere goal. I thought it was Dallas. It might not be Dallas. But there's a play where...
There's no Briere goal.
Okay.
Oh, no, yes, there is. Third period. Yeah, third period, 1:42 into the game. It made it 4-2 Sabres.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that goal is... Shot comes in, hits the goalie, goes behind the goalie and through him, and sits in the blue paint in front of the goal line.
Mm-hmm.
And Briere, where did he always live? Like along the goal line, you know, crashing down in. The puck is behind the goalie for a good second, and the crowd starts to react to... And Briere dives in like a lacrosse player, diving across it and bangs it in the net. And it was amazing because it was the kind of thing where like, somebody get that puck! And, you know, bam.
There he is.
What was their record after that win?
Their record after that win was 20-10-1.
Yeah, it's pretty fun times.
20-10-1. Did you see the clip I tweeted yesterday of Tyler Myers?
I did.
So Tyler Myers played he's the final playoff Sabre in the NHL. Maybe actually in general. I don't even know if there's a guy playing in Europe. So Myers is the last player in the NHL that played in the playoffs for the Sabres. He played his 1,000th game over the weekend. So I tweeted out a video of him scoring a goal. This is just like a December game in 2010 on a Sabre team that's like, okay, not great. And the crowd, same thing, like crowd before the horn a little bit. It's an overtime goal that Myers scores where just it feels like a different everything.
Like another planet. Yeah.
And that wasn't even a great team. And it felt like a different planet.
That clip I mentioned where someone pointed out there was a Cousins goal, or a Cousins with the kid line skating around.
Yeah.
It's Cousins, Quinn, and Paterka when they started to really grow together. This clip looks like it's on fast forward, Joe. It's unbelievable to watch how fast they're playing and skating. Got to find a way through. List of things for the Sabres to figure out. Cousins, Samuelson, the power play. What else? Darlene.
Cousins. You said Quinn?
I said Cousins, Samuelson.
Samuelson.
The power play.
The power
play. Sure, I'll give you Quinn.
Quinn. That might be it. Those four things. You get those four things to turn around, I think they're in pretty good shape.
803-0550. Howard picks the Bills when we return on WGR.
Anytime you turn the ball over in the NFL, you put yourself at a disadvantage, right? And even when there's lulls of on offense or, hey, when we might not be, you know, clicking all the way, as long as those drives are ending in a punt, we have an opportunity to flip the field, us be able to regroup and not feel like, oh, man, we got stopped because we turned the ball over, whether it was a fumble or an interception. So not playing scared, not playing conservative, but understand the importance of if we can just protect the football for 60 minutes, good things usually happen. Pleased with how they've done it so far. We got to continue that.
That is Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady locking in on the turnover conversation. Jeremy and Joe with you. Happy Tuesday. Another day where I'm going to ask, is there a cloud anywhere? Anyone seen a cloud?
Not in days since cloud should be what that whiteboard gets dedicated
there's some
to. Up
wispy
there.
Ones yesterday. Howard's here.
I think I saw a UFO last night.
Oh wow, really?
Yeah.
There's been comets recently.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, there's been meteor showers.
I'm coming home from Channel 7. I'm on the 290. I'm curling onto the 990. I look up. I see lights, flashing lights moving in the sky. Now, you see airplanes up there all the time. So I look up at it, and as I look at it, it plunges straight down. Just straight line, right down, disappears on the horizon.
Wow. I mean, Howard picks the Bills about to get trumped by UFO
talk. That's not like a shooting star or a comet, is it? I mean, I just... Straight down.
It could be. It could be a shooting
star. Okay, I'm just saying. I think I saw a UFO.
Could have been a drone?
I think it was an alien ship.
Or it could have been a drone. That's right.
No, I'm going with UFO. Alien ship. Scouting.
Technically, UFO is unidentified flying objects.
Well, that's definitely what it was.
You're going above. You're not saying unidentified. You're saying I know what it is.
Alien ship from another solar system. Yes, absolutely.
That would be the most fun explanation.
Why not?
I'm into that.
I'm 62. I may have actually lost it altogether by now, so who knows?
Yeah. Speaking of space, did you know that my name is on a spacecraft in space right now?
I didn't.
Did we talk about this?
Did you know there's a star named after Howard?
I still have the paperwork.
I think I forgot about that.
That's right.
I think his is more impressive.
Well, how's your name on a spacecraft?
They just said you can sign up to have your name on this space probe that's going to visit Europa, which is one of Jupiter's moons.
That's right.
Sure, that sounds cool. My name's just going to be in space forever in like 8 million years? Sure.
They're looking for life because I guess there's like a lot of water under the surface.
There's like 5 miles of ice on the surface, and then they think there's water underneath
it. I feel like that's more impressive because there's less spacecraft than stars in the skies. So, I mean, no offense. Jeremy,
that's
but
true.
There's a gazillion, bazillion, trillion stars.
I'm not so sure. I mean, you just saw one of those spacecrafts. Maybe he's got friends.
Maybe that was your spacecraft, Joe.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it plummeted to Earth, so
speaking
maybe not.
Of things that are out of this world.
Wow.
Wow. So how about Amari Cooper?
Yeah, he's pretty good, huh?
Yeah, it went great.
Feeling better?
Oh, I mean,
although, I guess in the first half, I didn't see your actual tweets. I only saw your things were said tweet.
Yeah, I mean, I said after the Bills' millionth run on second and favorable that I want Josh to call the plays.
Oh, I did see that
because
one. That's
I just
right.
want
yes,
the
yes.
Bills to throw the ball a lot more, and I think they will.
Second half, they did.
I think. And what happened?
The offense returned.
Yes. Yeah, James Cook did not have a good day running the ball. It was established, I guess.
But they didn't need the running game. They won in the second half because this was like watching the old Bills.
One of the things about the Bills is they don't often need the running game. They feel like they need it, but they often really don't. So they eat their vegetables, and then they got to play. It was a lot like the opener against Arizona, where, like, how come he only has this many attempts?
Right.
There was a turnover, fine, but throw it more. Anyway, so things went well, and now off to Seattle for a game. The Jets look like they are, well, they're being left for dead. I don't think they're dead.
I don't think they're dead, but I think they have the quarterback actually just may be flat out shot.
Yep.
Are they dead for the division, though?
I think they're dead for the division, but they're not dead for a wild card.
Miami is going to get Tua back. And then the interesting story in New England is Gerard Mayo called his team soft, and Belichick says, they're not soft.
And then he walked it back the next day.
How about that, though?
Yeah.
Belichick.
Yeah.
Shots fired at your guy.
Right.
Like, they're not soft.
And by the way,
I know those players.
Belichick's handprint is all over the roster. Right? Most of those guys came in. A good chunk came in under Belichick.
But. All right, let's do Howard Picks the Bills. It's time.
A tradition unlike any other.
People get mad no matter what. Either A, I didn't pick enough wins. B, I'm shilling for the team. C, the losses are too obvious. Pick them to beat somebody of note. D, wait, that's the record you had last week. Why not do something a little different this week? E, all of the above.
It's time for Howard to pick the Bills!
I believe this should be a fun day for Bills fans. A little less stressful than recent games. I'll take the Bills to beat the Titans.
Takes the snap.
The first
time. Blitz coming. Fires over the middle for Amari Super Cooper for a 12-yard touchdown reception. Back to pass. Looking to his right. Pocket collapsing and he's down. DeJuan Smoot and Greg Rousseau wrapped him up for the sack.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Was it stress-free Sunday?
I never thought they were going to lose the game.
Me either. I have a very small distinction to make. There's mad that your team's losing, and then there's mad that your team is not winning yet.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. It's like, what are you guys doing?
Right.
You're going to go beat this team or what?
Right. We've seen this before.
Why are we wasting our time?
Seen this act. Was never once thought. I know that the Denver game last year is kind of in the back of my head, but never once did I think they'll be fine. The offense will come around.
Okay. The Bills, 5-2. Baltimore, 5-2. Houston, 5-2. Kansas City sitting out there unbeaten still.
Yeah.
Bills at Seahawks. We're going to watch for DK Metcalf's status in this game. Knee injury, week to week, he's going to try to play.
The one thing that I will say about this, I know that, you know, high-profile receivers, I get that. Kenneth Walker could absolutely destroy the Bills' run defense. But I will pick the Bills and their rejuvenated passing game to go to Seattle and win this football game.
All right.
I like it.
This is the first time I think you've picked them to beat Seattle in a while.
It's a new day, Joe.
Yeah. New day.
Super Cooper is here. I like Super Cooper.
I don't think Metcalf's going to be right, even if he plays. I don't think he's going to be right.
Yeah. And that's a massive loss.
Yeah.
Like, the Bills would be dedicating attention.
Sure.
They would be bracketing DK Metcalf quite a bit because, like, that's a guy that can get over the top.
Yep.
He can win contested catches. Mm-hmm. Heck of a player. Okay, then Bills home Dolphins, and I guess we should expect Tua Tagovailoa to be playing in that game.
Yeah, and I am curious to see. Obviously, that offense is completely different when anybody not named Tua is trying to run it. So that should help the Dolphins, but I don't think that necessarily is the cure-all. I will take the Bills to beat Miami. I mean, even with a healthy Tua, they can't beat the Bills.
Yep. It's funny, like, Mike McDaniel might be the worst coach in football because of how bad they've been since losing Tua. And I would just like to remind everybody, real quick, because I think Mike McDaniel's actually a pretty good coach and a good offensive mind. Tom Brady left New England, and that guy fell apart.
Right.
And we're going to act like, I got to be honest, he should be doing more with Skylar Thompson out there.
Yeah.
Please.
Or Huntley.
Come on.
Right. Or Tim Boyle.
Bill Belichick fell apart without Brady.
I thought about could he have adjusted the playbook anymore because you don't have Tua and his timing and his ability, but I guess in season, man, there's only so much
it's
you can do.
It's pretty tough. Yeah. And, you know, they have limitations as it is,
right?
Built for Tua so specifically.
Tim Boyle, by the way, 0-10 now in games where he's attempted a pass.
Pretty good. Bills at Colts.
I will take the Bills to win. Anthony Richardson, Joe Flacco, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter. But I would say the Bills will still win that game.
I think it might be a lot like Will Levis. I mean,
yeah, look, you knew Mason Rudolph. You weren't scared Mason Rudolph would win the game, but honestly, you knew that Will Levis could absolutely cough the game up and big. He would give you points.
Yep.
Mason Rudolph wasn't going to kill the Titans, whereas Levis would. Yeah, that's a good analogy. I like, because Flacco wouldn't do that for Indianapolis.
Yeah, Richardson, so much of his production comes on deep throws, and that's what Levis has done as well. The two of them on non-deep throws have been two of the worst quarterbacks in football. Right. Chiefs at Bills, 425. Will Kansas City be undefeated?
I didn't even look at their schedule. You're going to pull it up real quick?
Yeah, let me pull it up.
I will take the Chiefs until I see any different, like actually Kansas City losing a game at some point. I'll take the Chiefs to win that
one. All right, here's the Chiefs' schedule. First up, the Raiders, who have their number.
Yeah, I don't know about this Raiders
team. They play the Bucs, who might be down their best two receivers.
Yeah.
Then the Broncos, and then the Bills.
Broncos have a really good defense. Didn't Denver beat them last year?
No, Denver should have beaten
them
last
close
year.
Played close both times,
or was
maybe?
That 2 years ago?
2 years.
When Melvin Gordon had a fumble.
That was two years ago. Okay. Yeah. That cost the Bills the one seed.
That's right.
Right.
At the time.
But Denver's defense is pretty good, so they might give Kansas City a tussle. I have a lot of faith in
that game. Is going to be 16-10.
Yeah.
I don't know who wins it. Probably the Chiefs, but there's not going to be scoring in that game.
Bills home Niners. No Ayuk.
Yeah.
Debo has pneumonia and is hospitalized.
Yeah, that's serious.
I think
stuff.
Christian Kittle's McCaffrey hurt. Is getting closer. Kittle's nursing
Kittle's
an injury.
Day. Yeah, I think the Ayuk thing is big. Yeah, you know, I may be overreacting to just how bad San Francisco looked against Kansas City the other day, but they look terrible. I'll take the Bills to beat the Niners.
Okay. Bills at the Rams. Cooper Kupp is returning for them. Puka Nacua will at some point, right? Their line's not very good. Their defense is terrible, the Rams. They give up a lot.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
So I think the Bills will go out and win their second trip in L.A. to L.A. in what, the last 3 years, whatever the heck the other one was.
Bills at Lions. Detroit is not only beating teams, and they didn't necessarily do it this week, but they are embarrassing teams.
Yeah.
They got Chris Christie to call the head coach, Dan Campbell, classless. You didn't see this?
No.
Chris Christie.
For what?
Because when they blew out the Cowboys and they were running trick plays and running up the score, Chris Christie said that's classless. That's not what winners do. You did not see Dan Campbell's response?
No.
Dan Campbell's response was, the last time somebody called me classless, it's because I was drinking wine out of a bottle.
You can't drink wine out of a bottle.
Just somebody called him classless when he did it.
I thought he was going to drink wine out of a box.
Like, please, Chris Christie v. Dan classless. Campbell.
I will take the classless Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions to win that game.
Patriots at Bills.
Let's start the run, boys. Love the last three games. If a one seed's in play, honestly, I think the way things are playing out, shouldn't the division be clinched before that stretch?
You would think.
I will take the Bills to beat the Patriots.
Bills beat the Patriots. Home Jets.
If the wheels fall off, he might not be playing.
I was just going to say, is this, if he does play, are we watching Aaron Rodgers' last game?
Isn't he coming back next year?
He doesn't look good
this
year.
He's going to need another darkness retreat.
I mean, he does not look good, boys. Anyway, I'll take the Bills to beat the Jets.
Bills Patriots.
It would be his second to last game. Bills.
Is that 13-4?
Yes.
I think so.
13-4.
13-4.
You had Chiefs and Lions, and that was it, right?
Yes.
13-4 is not the one seed because you have the Chiefs beating the Bills.
Yeah.
So they would need five other losses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's happening.
And then it's really, did they beat out Baltimore and Houston, assuming those two go on and win their divisions?
I might want to bet they're the two seed, though.
At 13-4?
I think so.
Baltimore's going to lose three more games?
Yeah, because you don't
have Houston's going to lose three more games?
I think I might want to say yes.
Okay. You need them both to lose three more games.
That's challenging.
Houston, I think, is definitely going to lose three more games. They have a plus 6 point differential. They still don't look great in games.
I agree. They're both their offense and their defense are disappointing this year.
The Ravens are not always perfect in their own division.
I get it, but every time I watch Lamar Jackson, I just kind of amazed at how good this guy is.
I know. And really, the other point is they also play each other on Christmas, by the way. Their non-division games are not that tough. Denver, Philadelphia, the Chargers, the Giants, and the Browns.
That's who?
That's the Ravens. So, like, yeah, the losses would have to come in the division.
Which they could.
They definitely could. They struggle in their own division a lot.
They don't just walk over Pittsburgh all the time.
Yep.
I don't know about Cleveland. Cleveland is more alive, I think, now.
I think if Winston is their quarterback, they are a better football team.
I think Baltimore plays Cincinnati one more time. I think they played already one time, right?
They play, yes, in 3 weeks.
They could get beat by the Bengals.
All right.
Everything else okay, fellas?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
What else?
How are you doing? Mets losing.
Hey.
You can't be that upset.
It was found money.
Weird series, too.
Yeah.
Every game was a blowout loss.
Every game.
Except for maybe game two.
Was any game even tense?
Was game two close?
No. 6-3? I forget what the final was in game two.
Okay.
Yeah, the Mets four losses, I think they gave up like 40 runs.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they just got manhandled by the Dodgers. But whatever. It's found money. It was a great run. They should be even better positioned next year.
And you're rooting for in the World Series?
I can't say the name because I can't say the sentence. The team that plays in the Bronx. I think my son's getting a ring if they win, so I have to root for the team that plays in the Bronx.
It's a pretty good reason.
You used to be able to believe in things.
I mean, I can't even say the whole thing. It's like, you know, it's like a fan from Ohio State rooting for the school up north to win a football game.
So you're not rooting for them so much as you're rooting for your son to get a ring.
I am rooting for my son.
Okay.
Yes. It's a one time. It'll never happen again. This is like, it's like Halley's Comet. It happens once every 75 years. This has never happened in 62 years, and it will never, ever happen again, no matter how long I live. So this is it. Done.
Blood is thicker than the water that pours through Citi Field.
Something like that.
Yeah. You're saying you won't want him to get a second ring next year?
No, he only needs... He's already got one.
You don't want him to take a picture in 5 years with five rings on his hand?
No. I can't root
like
for...
That's the Brady picture, right?
Root for that team.
Speaking of which, you pointed this out, Howard, because...
Brady.
It's a Brady game.
Ugh.
Will we hear how dominant he was over the Bills as part of the broadcast?
Yes.
1,000%. We're going to hear it every other minute.
They're going to have a graphic made up.
I think so,
with his record. What is it? 32. Well, in New England, it was 32-3. There'll be a graphic with his record. There'll be his stat line, how many touchdowns he threw. Someone might do the math on how many points they averaged when they beat the Bills. And you know there are going to be highlights of Tom Brady throwing touchdowns against the Bills.
Yep.
Bet on it.
I didn't even think of this. This is totally happening.
Absolutely.
100%.
They're going to set him up. Hey, Tom, you had some pretty good success against the Bills, didn't you?
This might be the first game I ever watched the Bills in Spanish. I'm just going to put the Spanish broadcast on.
Turn the TV sound down and listen to Chris Brown.
There you go. That's
the move. Eric Wood. Yep. There you go.
Thank you, sir.
All right, fellas. Be good.
All right, Howard's back next week to pick next week. It's Tuesday, Sabres and Stars tonight. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. All right, very quick segment here. Back on the other side, more of your calls on the AFC and stuff on the Ravens. We've got a couple of texts and tweets I want to read to. Just enough time to ask you a very important question, okay? What's the best way to fight off a gang of circus clowns?
With water balloons. I don't know.
Go for the juggler.
All right, that one's good. Actually, I like that one. That might be, that's in my top three right now.
Thank you.
Go for the juggler.
Yeah.
How many bad ones came before that one?
Actually, that was one that I didn't like the way it was written, so I kind of re-delivered it.
How was it written?
It was not a question and answer. It was more just a...
Okay, like a statement?
A little bit. Tweaked it.
All right. Go for the juggler.
No. All right. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe. Wide open hour. When we return, we'll guess a dog of the day. Preview Sabre Stars.
I purposely did. Someone sent us the dog of the day. I purposely didn't look yet.
Okay. We'll get into that. That's very important. Now, homestand. A lot of home games coming up. Win some games. Play better, win games. Lindy Ruff, good quote there from this morning. Play better, win games.
Yep.
Join us if you'd like on WGR.